98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
On November 5th, Kyler Murray was said to be a game-time decision. Almost a month later, his availability is still a mystery. Will he play on Sunday? All I can tell you is he's hopeful and he's moving around. Ian Rappaport, however, reported that Murray is expected to play, which kind of tells you what the organization is thinking. But Diana Rossini also reported that Murray was expected to play before a November 14th game against the Panthers. Either way, the paranoia about releasing real information is not unique to the Cardinals, but it does cast an unfortunate light on Murray if he can't play, because it makes him look kind of soft, and a lot of fans were grumbling about that before the Seahawks game, only to be silenced by Colt McCoy's gutsy performance, and here we go again. Now, I can tell you, there were players rolling their eyes after Murray's reticence to re-enter a Week 17 game against the Rams last year with a playoff berth on the line. You do not want that happening again, because teams can and do turn on players who do the diva dance, and you do not want that happening here because the chemistry and the camaraderie is so good. So hopefully this is all another smoke show and Murray is all good for a glorious return, because yes, the Cardinals can beat the Bears with Colt McCoy, but you cannot afford to lose this game, and I really do not want Murray coming back cold for that Monday night showdown against the Rams. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Shop online at ChapmanBMW.com.
When you come up a bye, you're obviously going to have a little more juice. Practices have been great the past 2 days. Guys feel refreshed. We were able to get away, kind of clear our minds. But the goal is, it's not long term in this league. It's short term.
Waiting for Kyler to play. Checking D-Hop every day. Getting ready off the bye. Watching Keyshawn whine and cry. A win this week would surely mean 10-2 through week 13.
Hopeful, yeah.
Want to win the NFC and get that big number one seed. I think that Cliff will pull us through. Just keep him away from OU. Beat the Bears and you will be 10-2 through week 13.
Now it all comes clear to me. I was walking by his place yesterday and I heard him humming this song. And I'm thinking,
my desk.
Why is he humming 25 or 6 to 4?
Which is just one of the more confusing song titles ever.
It is.
So that one's called 10-2 through week 13.
Yes.
To get all the numbers in.
That's correct.
I have to say this as a critique. Last week I suggested we all get a shot at a joke. I don't really have one. I heard the music start. And I was like, he's going to go all full Cetera on us. And that is not somebody you want to try to emulate vocally.
You never go full Cetera.
You never go full Cetera.
No.
You kept it under the radar a little bit.
It's good.
Obviously familiar with the song. The lyrics were in time with the music.
Yes. And, of course, the band Chicago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you very much.
I give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
But what we're going to do now after that is we are going to put a ban on all talk about Keyshawn Johnson. Vinny and I are in unanimity about this. Okay?
Yes.
No more glorifying blithering idiots.
Well, wait a minute.
So his reference.
Wait a minute. So that means no more songs for me either? No more kebab?
That was the other part of this.
Hour and a half. I got a kebab coming up.
That's right. No, that was actually pretty good.
Right,
Jared. I liked your line about Cliff and OU because Oklahoma still hasn't hired a football coach.
They haven't.
They're waiting for something. No, but really, though.
No, they are. They really
Notre Dame hired a coach today.
They did. Yes.
LSU hired a coach.
LSU hired a coach.
USC, obviously.
Coach so good, he was able to change his accent to a southern dialect
Yeah. He's making friends. He's really acclimating well, young Brian.
Here's the thing that I want to say about the Cardinals. If this thing is actually real, and if Cliff decides, you know what? Yeah, I'm going for the money and the security. The Cardinals are uniquely prepared to handle it. They've got a guy in Vance Joseph who can just slide in and be the head coach. They're uniquely prepared to handle this if this is something more than just some wild rumor.
Look, I still put it into the wild rumor.
I do too.
Category, but doesn't part of you freak out? That's a strong phrase, but don't you wonder about Kyler Murray without Cliff Kingsbury and vice versa?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No. No, I really don't. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I've been a very heavy critic of Cliff Kingsbury in the past. I think what we're seeing this year is more about Kyler Murray growing up emotionally, physically, maturing, all that stuff. I think Kyler Murray will be just as good with anybody else. That's my opinion. I do want to give Cliff Kingsbury props. He's had a very good season, and orchestrating 2 out of 3 wins with Colt McCoy, I don't want to throw shade at that. I want to respect that and celebrate that. But I do think that the Cardinals would be uniquely prepared to absorb this. I can't see it happening either. Could you imagine just what that would feel like? What that story would feel like?
Well, I mean, imagine how Oklahoma fans feel right now. They make they don't even make the decision. It's made for them. Lincoln Riley, over the course of about 30 minutes, completely changed his thought. Oh, we lost the game, but I just got a job offer. I'm leaving. That's a believable timeline. But everybody says you have to strike fast because of recruiting, and here we are a week later, and they still don't have a coach. Jarrett's right. They're waiting for something, a denial or whatever. I'm ultimately pleased with today's song parody. I don't know what to say. It's a weird feeling.
It's been a couple weeks now that we're
It's been a couple months now since we've been kind of like, oh, that was good.
Yeah. FanDuel FanFest, the biggest party in sports, heads to Westworld of Scottsdale on December 11th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to claim your free tickets. Coming up next, 18 wins in a row, rematch against the Warriors. Is tonight the opportunity for a little coaching gamesmanship? We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
It's the NBA, man. I mean, we're not out here digging ditches. Okay, it's basketball. Like, I think this generation has been taught how to be tired. I really do. I mean, that's all we talk about nowadays. Nobody practices. Practices are like a half hour and 45 minutes. So I get what everybody's talking about, and I'm aware of it, and I do what I can to help guys, but we don't talk about it a lot. If you're going to win in this league, you're probably going to win tired. And I think our guys understand that based on what we went through last year.
Yeah, that'll be the case tonight. If the Suns find a way to beat the Golden State Warriors twice in a 4-day span, they will win tired. They got their 18th win in a row last night over the Detroit Pistons, 114-103. It's a new franchise record. So they've checked that box. That is no longer a thing that they are chasing. It's something that's been accomplished. They beat the Golden State Warriors in a nationally televised game earlier this week to stretch that to 17. They get them again. It's weird because the Suns obviously had a game last night. Golden State has not played since Tuesday night, so they're the more well-rested team. And considering how hard the Suns had to work last night to get that 18th win over the Pistons, it got you thinking a little bit on maybe some things that could be possible for Monty Williams from a personnel standpoint.
Right, and I think you brought up earlier why it's not going to happen, and I think definitely it won't happen. But I do want to cite Greg Popovich as sort of a precedent setter in this. I remember many, many times when the Suns were trying to psychologically get over the hump of beating the Spurs, that they would have regular season matchups, and Greg Popovich was not going to fuel any of that, and he would sit down Tim Duncan, or he'd sit down Manu Ginobili, or Tony Parker, or a combination of the three, to the point where Robert Sarver once did the chicken wing dance at Greg Popovich.
Preseason game.
That
too,
was a preseason game. Yeah. That's how common that had become.
Well, that's how things have changed too. Is people used to get upset when players didn't play in the preseason.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So to me, I look at this and I think that, all right, if Monty Williams really wanted to mess with Golden State, and if he really felt like this thing is coming to an end, our energy, we're just about ready to be had, he could really throw a curveball at Golden State by resting a Mikal Bridges, maybe Chris Paul. He's not going to do it. Because, like you said, you have to respect the winning streak. You have to lose it fair and square. But there is a question to be asked about Mikal Bridges and his workload so far this season. He's been phenomenal, but he's playing 40-plus minutes a game now.
It's only been four of the 22 games that they've played,
But three in a row. And so I think that has to be tweaked. Mikal Bridges has been amazingly resilient. He has not missed a game, I think, in his career.
That is correct.
So I wouldn't want to push that too far. I guess it all comes down to just basically the philosophy of how hard do you go in December?
I think it's immaterial because of what I said. There's a winning streak intact. Mm-hmm. Now, that might change.
Right about that.
That might change halfway through. If things don't get off to a good start tonight, but Chris Paul talked about it last night, setting the record, but it's never really been the main goal for this team.
It's cool. I really wasn't thinking about it. Obviously that's nice little piece of history here for the team. But I think for us, it's always about that feeling and making sure we playing the game the right way. You know, we always talk about, we got a standard, and we say this, feel like every night, a win is a win, but, you know, we felt like we could have played better.
You're also right when you say that if they win shorthanded for a second time in against the Warriors, with the Warriors laying in wait in their home stadium, that would be a powerful psychological thing to pull off.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about maybe throwing a curveball to Golden State. You do that, you win shorthanded in their place and beat them twice. That's like throwing a 105-mile-an-hour fastball right by them, and they can't even react.
That's a good point.
About Mikal Bridges and his minutes, he did play over 40 minutes for the third straight game and was very effective last night, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 steals. Monty Williams talked about it and how to deal with that particular issue.
Is his minutes load just going to kind of need to be in the spot that it's in until you guys get healthier?
It's a good question. I mean, I wanted to get him out and not play him as much, but he got hairy in the third, and I trusted him. But I think there's, you know, at some point I got to address that. And we try on off days. And look, it's still basketball. I mean, we're not practicing 2.5-3 hours a day anymore. You know, guys are the most we do now is in games, whereas back in the day we worked harder in practice than we did in the game. But he does log heavy minutes, and I'm aware of it. And he's guarding the best guy, offensive guy, every night. And so that's a tough task. It's something that I have thought about, though.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think about it when you're at this point, and maybe it's being complicated by the win streak. We don't know. But again, Mikal Bridges was one of the talks of the league because of the job he did on Steph Curry. Now, there was a lot of Warriors fans that said Wednesday morning, oh, it was just an off shooting night. There was a stat that was brought up during the telecast last night. 37% possessions where Steph Curry was guarded primarily by Mikal Bridges in that game, and he was 0 for 5 and wasn't a factor. Mikal Bridges is playing defense at a ridiculous level right now, but he doesn't look tired. He looks like he's getting stronger. He's still young. He does pride himself on being available. I'll tell you what's complicating this too, Bic, is not having Abdul Nader right now. He could be playing a role for this team right now, but he's been out for a while, and people don't bring his name up in terms of absence because, you know, he hasn't played tremendous this year, but those are minutes that could go to him if truly resting Mikal Bridges is a concern. Those are minutes that could be going elsewhere that they're just not claimable right now.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I also found it kind of odd that in the game against the Pistons, Jalen Smith still isn't good enough to contribute with Biggs being out of the lineup. But maybe that's not surprising given the fact that they declined to pick up his option. I mean, we had Ish Wainwright sighting last night.
First quarter Ish Wainwright. Ish Wainwright, who had the third best plus minus on the team last night in only 4 minutes and 13 seconds.
That's outstanding. But again, I think it's, and Jared has brought this up too, that 17-0 run by the Pistons that now made that game harder than it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something the Suns can get better at.
That's exactly, if you're really worried about the minutes, that's something the players have to take upon themselves, is to handle their business. So once they get the sweats on early in the fourth quarter, they don't have to come back in the game. Or if they have an 18-point lead at halftime, they don't have to press that hard in the third and fourth quarters to maintain that lead. And that's something I agree with you. That needs to be improved. And that can help you take care of your problem if you do think Mikal Bridges' minutes are a problem right now. We'll see what happens tonight in San Francisco. A game you can hear right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You can also text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620-620 right now. What a perfect guest to have on a Friday morning. The Suns won 18 games in a row, and the Cardinals are playing his beloved Chicago Bears this weekend. We'll talk about both with Eddie Johnson next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Marotta Mornings on this Friday, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studio. Suns going for win number 19 in a row tonight in San Francisco against the Golden State Warriors. Here to talk Suns basketball with us, he's their analyst on television, also SiriusXM NBA radio host. Eddie Johnson joins us here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. It's been such a pleasure to talk about this basketball team for a couple seasons now. But 18 wins in a row, for somebody that played in the NBA for as long as you did, what impresses you the most about a streak of that length?
The concentration level, to just go out and keep the streak going. It's very difficult to do. It's not an easy thing to win, you know, let alone 7 games in a row in the NBA. It's very competitive. I thought we got an example last night, one of the worst teams in the league, in Detroit, stretching you. So it's never a given when you throw the ball out there. And you got to be concentrated, man. You got to be able to fight through all the things that's surrounding the game. Injuries, just a bad night, internal strife, if it's any. All those things. And to be able to still go out there and complete the job. And they've done it constantly on a consistent basis, night in and night out. 18 times.
Right.
That to me is amazing. And it just says a lot about the fortitude of this team and the fact that, you know, they didn't carry forward, even though I think a lot of people thought when they got off to the 1-3 start, they didn't carry forward the disappointment of what happened a few months earlier. Mm-hmm. And that just shows you the professionalism of everyone from top to bottom.
That's so well said. I look at this team and just their presence, the way they composed themselves and the way they performed in Brooklyn and then the Golden State game. Like you said, it occurs to me that even though they lost the NBA championship last year, they act like they won it. They've got a certain swagger about them that's even greater than anything we saw last year. As a guy who's played on good teams, what does that look mean? What does that feel like?
Well, you know, again, you know, and I talk about it all the time on my radio show, and people always want to take offense to it because they say, well, you know, the Suns got lucky, AD got injured, and, you know, Denver was compromised, and the Clippers didn't have Kawhi. And my response is, you're correct. I mean, you're correct. They took advantage of a situation which has happened historically all the time.
Yes.
With teams. You can look back at on any championship and you can see that a team got compromised to allow a team to maybe have an easier road. And I say Milwaukee had an easier road at the game, too, because Devin Booker strained his hamstring, didn't tell anybody, you know, the public didn't know. And then Chris Paul was virtually playing with one arm. So, yeah, you're correct. And, they don't, and the Suns brought that forward. They knew. They were up 2-0.
Right.
They knew. They knew that they had. They knew that they should have won the title. And they knew the reason they didn't win it was because of the injuries that they were suffering. And the Lakers probably feel like they would have beaten the Suns if they had Anthony Davis. So everybody can move forward with confidence of knowing that they didn't get beaten in full stride. And so that's why the Suns were able to return this year and realize, you know what, that was ours. And we're going to prove it again this year because people are doubting us that we can even have a great record.
Yeah. Eddie Johnson, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. So much is made in today's NBA, Eddie, about workload, about minutes played. And in specifically, Mikal Bridges has played three straight games of 40 minutes, and people are freaking out a little bit. Monty Williams talked about it being a concern for moving forward. Do you think that is a concern at this point? Because I'm looking at it, and it's been 11 years since an NBA player averaged 40 or more minutes in a game. Is too much made of that today?
Correct me, guys. How old is Mikal Bridges right now?
Like 24, 25?
Please. Kick rocks, people. Let me tell you something. It's those same people that go to the doggone workout facility, wherever they go. I'm not going to hype up a workout facility if they're not, you know, paying me.
Smart move.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See,
yeah,
you're a
yeah.
pro.
Pay me. But no. Those are the guys, right, that go to the workout facility, look at everything, and then turn around and leave. See, those are the guys that, you know, when they watch a game, they're watching it on the couch, eating potato chips, and don't even want to get up to go to the refrigerator to get a drink. They say, honey, can you go grab me a drink? And you're doing something else.
Isn't that the truth?
Right? So I don't want to hear from those guys. I truly don't. And I'll give you all an example. When I was 25, 26 years old, the great Cotton Fitzsimmons, okay, the great Cotton Fitzsimmons, when I was playing in Kansas City, he came to me and said, get your rest over the next week. And I didn't even know what he meant. Now, you got to remember, guys, we're flying commercial.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We had a back-to-back-to-back, three straight games in three different cities, okay, obviously. All right? Meaning that it wasn't two games in the L.A. area. No. It was like playing Golden State. Then I had to fly to Utah, then I had to fly to San Antonio, all right? I played three straight games, 48 minutes. 48 minutes.
Wow.
We had a day off, and then the fourth game, I think I played about 40 minutes. I wasn't tired. You know, so, and I'm sitting next to a guy on the plane, you know, a commercial flight, I don't even know, and he wants to keep me up, and I'm trying to go to sleep. So, are you kidding me? Oh, so Mikal Bridges is going to be tired, and we pulled our cars up to the plane last night, got out, they grab our luggage, we get on the plane, they serve us immediately. It ain't like commercial where you just hope to get some peanuts and whatnot, you know. No. I mean, serve us a catered meal. All right, all we got to do is hit the button. They're there in about a half a second. We get off the plane, walk right to the bus that's basically sitting right up on the plane. You check in. Your key is right there. They bring your luggage up. All you got to do is come up and get in the bed. Man, I could have played an 8 straight games 48 minutes back when I played if I had that.
That is just beautiful. Yeah, that's context. That's real perspective. You're absolutely right about that. All right, we've got to ask you about this football game this weekend because it's the Arizona Cardinals in a big game against your beloved Bears, EJ.
Yeah, and look, I'm in the middle. I'm loving what the Cardinals are doing this year. I sense, man, opportunity for a Super Bowl. Finally, you know, I mean, they had a chance a number of years ago. I'm thinking, man, this team is special. Unfortunately, you get the injuries, man, but all teams have gotten the injuries. My Bears, man. I'm playing golf on Sunday.
Are you really?
Man, listen. I do. I love my Bears. I have it on. I have it on. You know, I have it on the speaker where I'm, you know, hitting balls to the left and right. But I don't even want to see it because I think we're gonna get destroyed. I do. And so I don't even want to have to go through it. It's been a tough year for me. You know, and I'm not out to get anybody's jobs or anything, but everybody, top to bottom, that organization need to figure it out. That's all. But the Cardinals are tremendous this year. So I win either way because I want the fans in Phoenix to have some joy as they're getting joy right now with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. And like you said, you got a distraction. You can concentrate on the Suns and not your Bears. It's all good.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Suns obviously is number one in my heart, and that says a lot, man. Me coming from Chicago and being a diehard Cub fan and Bear fan, I lost the Bulls years ago when George kept, you know, pummeling me on my head. I couldn't take it no more. you know, so the days of Bob Love and Chet Walker, I grew up watching and loved, Derek Sloan, Norm Van Leer, I apologize to them every day. But I am excited for the Bulls this year. I think they're playing very good. And so, yeah, man, I'm a Cardinal fan. I know people get on me and they say, you know, you don't support the Cardinals or the Diamondbacks. I say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. But you know what? I've been married 40 years, okay? And so that's the commitment you have. And I'm committed to my Cubs, man. I'm committed to my Bears. I gave up the White Sox. I gave up not the Blackhawks. I'm committed to the Blackhawks, too. So, Coyote fans, I love you as well. I'm a diehard Chicago guy, man.
Yes, you are,
and I'm
man.
Not going to change.
Yeah,
that's
you
it.
Are. Eddie, thanks so much, as always. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Eddie Johnson, Phoenix Suns television analyst, also does Sirius XM NBA Radio. He joined us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Coming up next, a look at the week in the NFL beyond Bears-Cardinals. Week 13 is upon us. It's nitty-gritty time. Bickley and Murata. Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Bickley and Murata. Presented by 72 Soul, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Prescott's going to toss the play wide to Pollard. Broke a tackle. Got a block on the edge. Sprinting to the 50. Pollard down the left sideline. One man to beat, and he'll beat him. All the way to the pylon. Touchdown, Pollard. Calling a run was the most brilliant move of the night.
Week 13 got underway last night in New Orleans. That was a highlight from the Cowboys radio network. Tony Pollard's 58-yard touchdown run, part of a 10-point win for the Cowboys, 27-17, over the floundering New Orleans Saints. Floundering.
Yeah.
We said it all. This is not new subject matter, but I asked you the question off the air.
Mm-hmm.
What is the fascination with Taysom Hill?
I don't know. It's almost as if it's just a guy that Sean Payton can use to flex. To show how evolved he is as a head coach, what a pioneer he is as a head coach. I don't get it either.
That was his fifth start as an NFL quarterback. First one this year, he threw four interceptions. Yeah, he ran for 100 yards. They lose.
Mm-hmm.
A big win for the Cowboys. They follow up, they come off the Thanksgiving Day loss to the Raiders, which I think had a lot of people maybe putting the Cowboys in the circling the drain category.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're still the best team in the NFC East, but who cares? It's hard not to be the best team in the NFC East.
Yeah.
So that was a big win for them to go out on the road in the second straight Thursday night game that they've played and get that win. It's an interesting week in the NFL because, especially here in Arizona with the Cardinals getting back to the bye, we're at almost 9 o'clock on Friday morning.
Yeah.
There's still no clarity on who's going to play, who's not going to play for the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have teams that they're trying to fend off. And one of those teams is the Los Angeles Rams, who they're not floundering as much as the New Orleans Saints are, but they're floundering a little bit. And they have a get-well game this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
So That in itself, Bick, puts a little bit of pressure on the Cardinals to come back and come out strong from the bye week.
Because you think that game looks very much like a layup, and it's kind of the game that you would want to get right before a Monday night showdown in Arizona.
Yeah, look at it this way. I mean, there's a 2-game lead right now. If the Cardinals stumble in Chicago on Sunday, mm-hmm. The Rams get that win over the Jaguars. And you're basically playing that Monday night game the next week, and you could be tied standings-wise with the Rams.
And then now you get into that murky other tiebreaker criteria with the Rams, and that's the last thing you want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rams schedule is tougher going out, but here's the point. There was a feeling after the Cardinals just worked the Rams in Los Angeles earlier that, okay, there's going to be a payback for this. The Rams are too good to not kind of throw something really special at the Cardinals the next time around. If they weren't playing Jacksonville this weekend, there's a real chance that Rams team might come in here in utter disarray, because there's a lot of questions about whether or not they ruined the entire vibe of that team by bringing in Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr.
See the latest on Beckham today?
I did not.
Ian Rappaport tweeted out this morning, Odell Beckham Jr. did not practice yesterday with a hip injury. His status for Sunday is now up in the air, according to a source. Limited on Wednesday, DNP Thursday. It's not considered a major issue, but some questions for this week about his availability.
There's some goofiness to him that has really been on display in Los Angeles that you really wonder if he is a winning football player. I really do.
Well, I wondered it before he got to LA.
I know you did.
And I continue to wonder.
I know
about
you
it.
Did. And you, I think, probably might be closer to the truth on Matthew Stafford versus Jared Goff than I was. I thought it was a marked improvement at quarterback. It's an improvement. I thought it was marked. You did not. As of right now, you are right and I'm wrong. So this Jacksonville
game.
Wait,
say that last part again.
As of this moment, you were right and I was wrong.
As of this moment.
Yeah. Yes. No, you were right. Yeah.
You got to celebrate the small wins when they happen.
No, listen, you were right about that, because I was convinced I was right. Convinced.
You looked good through the first few weeks.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, and
look, Matthew Stafford may turn it around. I'm not saying he's not talented,
but
something's in his head right now where he's been turnover prone, and it's led to, 18 points right off turnovers just on pick sixes the last three games.
Three consecutive games with pick sixes is not good. And he's
going for the Schaub this week.
The Schaub. Did Matt Schaub do that four consecutive weeks?
Yeah, four consecutive weeks.
Oh.
He's the last guy to do it.
Yeah. So this is a perfect momentum game for the Rams to make them feel better about themselves going into a game against the Cardinals. That's why, to me, this Bears game is so, so important. You've got the Cowboys, who are now 8-4 after last night. There's a game against them coming up. I don't know what to think about the Cowboys. Last night, they struggled offensively. They've got so many weapons, you wonder why. But it's also in New Orleans. It's against a good Saints defense. Not great, but good. And there's nothing wrong with slugging out a game the way you did last night on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to make about the Cowboys right now. I know the Packers are dangerous because Aaron Rodgers, as much as I detest the man, is one bad dude.
He's a bad dude with a chip on his shoulder now, too.
Yeah, he is.
Because he was wronged, and he's going to try to wrong everybody back.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so this to me, if you can stay above Green Bay, that will be quite an accomplishment for this football team. I also look at the San Francisco-Seattle game this week, and I really wonder what we're going to get from the Seahawks.
25 carries from Adrian Peterson?
Ha, ha, ha. Have they activated him, practice squad?
He had his press conference. Playing for the love of the game now.
Oh, of course he is.
So they're not paying
Translation,
him.
Padding stats, rushing yards.
Trying to catch
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're at home.
And then the Monday night game, Buffalo-New England, is a monstrous game.
It is. You want to talk about a team with some pressure on it? It's the Buffalo Bills. Certainly in that floundering category.
Yeah.
And New England, to me, has established itself, surprisingly, as the best team in the AFC.
Mm-hmm. Surprisingly.
With apologies to Kansas City, they're both peaking at the right time, in my opinion. Both looked I especially was not sold on Kansas City, but they've got it figured out. They're playing better defense. It's an interesting week. Also an interesting week in college football. It's championship weekend. It gets underway today. with the Sun Belt Championship. I know you'll be tuned in on the CBS Sports Network at 5.
Yeah, I will.
But only for an hour until the big Pac-12 Championship happens tonight at 6. They're still the one one major conference, and I say that in quotation marks, that has their championship game on Fridays. But they get it on ABC. I know I complain a lot about college football.
Mm-hmm.
But Utah having to play Oregon again less than 2 weeks after they just beat the tar out of them.
Seems redundant.
And a championship on the line. It does seem redundant to me. Now, I think Utah's going to win again.
Yeah.
But the only difference is not Salt Lake City. It's in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of championship weekend happens tomorrow. Oklahoma State, a team to watch. They're on the outside looking in right now of the college football playoff. You think they have is a win over Baylor without help enough to convince anybody for them to leapfrog Cincinnati?
I don't feel a lot of love for Oklahoma State. I don't feel like people.
You think that's the scenario? I think Alabama gets blown out by Georgia.
I disagree. I think Alabama's going to win that game. I understand the results on the field would tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you the pedigree of Alabama and the history of Georgia, that combined, I think Alabama's going to win, and I think Iowa's going to beat Michigan.
Does Georgia fall out of the top four if that unfolds?
No. So then you're going to have Georgia, you're going to have Alabama. Will Cincinnati survive that? That's the big question.
Here, Georgia, Alabama,
if Michigan loses,
Cincinnati,
yeah.
And Oklahoma State. There's your playoff field.
That would be bad.
Coming up next, it's time to get social. Social Studies with Sarah Cazell is straight ahead. It's Bickley underscore Murata. That's the Twitter handle. But it's Bickley and Murata mornings. Can you tell it's a Friday? We're back after this on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.